कुंडलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 1000 names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. Lalita Sahasranama speaks about Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman, that Brahman who alone is present here, who is present as the substratum of the illusory world, Mithya Jagat Adhishtana. That is what Lalita Sahasranama itself speaks about Devi, and it is the same as what Shankara says as Jagan Mithya, or Krishna says as Anityam Asukam Lokam. So the purpose of Lalita Sahasranama, we have discussed this many times, the purpose, but again repeating it again, the purpose of Lalita Sahasranama is to help us, or this learning is to help us in making the chanting of Lalita Sahasranama unlike a mere chanting, a mere mechanical way of chanting, which will help in little bit devotion, rather than that making it a Vedantic sadhana, making it a mananam, in a form of mananam and partly nididhyasanam, so that this itself serves as a means or as a way to realize Brahman, rather than other sadhanas which we have to do, and then we have to implement jnanam, jnana margam also we have to follow the three steps of shravana manana nididhyasanam. But unlike that, once we know the meaning of these namas and are able to relate it, the meaning of these various namas, with Nirguna Parabrahman, with Vedanta, then it becomes easy. It is trying to mix a sadhana that will help in focusing of the mind, that will help in focusing, gaining concentration of the mind, strengthening the concentration of the mind, extending it further to make it a sort of mananam and nididhyasanam, thereby helping us in getting moksha very quickly, very easily, as a result of our sadhana, as a result of our efforts. And since none other than Amma prescribes that we have to chant Lalita Sahasranama daily, it is important, it is compulsory that we do this sadhana, else we will be going against our own guru of Amma, then life will become useless. Whatever sadhana, whatever knowledge we get, it will become a waste, it will not be fulfilled, or it will not be transformed into anandam or eternal bliss. Therefore also it is very essential to chant the Lalita Sahasranama, but not just chanting of Lalita Sahasranama, anything chanting with meaning, understanding the meaning makes it more powerful. Understanding the meaning with respect to or in relation to Vedanta makes it more powerful. It itself, it becomes like remembering or recollecting Gita shlokas. It would be like recollecting any of the Upanishadic shlokas for mananam and adidhyasanam. Instead of that, this sadhana itself, chanting of Lalita Sahasranama, remembering the namas of Lalita Sahasranama, it will become not only a sadhana to purify and strengthen the mind, but it will also help us in jnana margam or mananam and adidhyasanam. So yesterday, the last day, we learned the nama of Bhakti Vashya, Devi, Bhakti Priya, Bhakti Gamya and Bhakti Vashya. Devi can be conquered through Bhakti. Bhakti, that Bhakti which Krishna speaks as one-pointed Bhakti, that Bhakti wherein Maya Veshya Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Pareyopeta Teme Yukta Tamamataha. Person who is always whose mind is always focused on Ishvara, a person who thinks nothing but Ishvara, who is ever steadfast, constantly thinking about Ishvara, and who considers Ishvara as the ultimate goal beyond anything. All other goals are fine as long as it doesn't hinder, it doesn't go against this goal of moksha or Ishvara. So when goals coincide or goals collide between oneself, then choosing Ishvara, because Ishvara is the ultimate supreme goal of for a person. Such a person is a devotee who is always ananya bhajanam, who is always thinking about Ishvara alone, and in this case thinking about Devi. So such a person easily conquers Devi, such a person catches hold of Devi. And what does he get out of conquering Devi? That is what the very next nama, the 121st nama, the five namas that we will be discussing today, 121st till 125th nama. So the first 121st nama and the 125th nama, both of them explain about the fruit that we get out of Bhakti Vashya, out of conquering Devi, out of jailing Devi. What do we get? First is Om Bhayapahayai Namaha. Bhayapaha. Apaha means removal, negation, destruction. Bhayam means fear. So destroying fear. Fear is something which is always there. We fear one thing or the other. Some people fear animals, some people fear ghosts, some people fear their parents, others fear something else. So there is fear always in a person. We always fear something or the other. And it is this fear. Fear is the dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. Says Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, says that bhayam comes out of dvitiyam, or the notion of duality. There are two things. So when the entire world has come from Brahman, when the entire world is in Brahman, and the entire world merges onto Brahman at the time of destruction, which means consciousness or Brahman or Devi is the basis for the entire world, is the substratum of the entire world. That means the duality is only something which is apparent, something which is temporary, something which is illusory in the non-dual entity. So when we forget that non-dual entity, then duality seems to be real, appears to be real. We consider duality as real. When we do that, when we consider duality as real, it causes fear, because we fear things which are apart, which are different from ourselves. But when a person realizes that everything is one entity, everything is Devi alone, then this fear vanishes. And bhakti culminates, we have already discussed, bhakti culminates in Atmanivedanam. The bhakta completely merging onto Ishvara, becoming one with Ishvara. And when the bhakta becomes one with Ishvara, then there is only Ishvara, which means the illusory creation vanishes, which means there is only one, there is only non-duality, there is only Advaitam. When there is only Advaitam, there is no Dvaitam, which means there is no Bhayam. That is the state of Abhayam or Nirbhayam, state without fear. So that is the goal. That is what would be attained by a person who conquers Devi. A bhakta who conquers Devi means Devi pervades the bhakta. Devi pervades the bhakta's thoughts. Devi pervades the bhakta's words. Devi pervades the bhakta's action. Therefore, for the bhakta, there is only Devi. And that is what is Bhakti Vashya, or conquering Devi. When that is done, Bhayapaha, Devi herself removes the fear of the devotee. Unlike a person who is fully or strictly on the Jnana Margam, he will be depending on the Nirguna Brahman, and his focus, his knowledge will help him to get out of all sorts of trouble. But for a bhakta, tesha maham samuddharta amritya samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. For such a person, the Lord Krishna says in Gita that for such a saguna bhakta, when his mind is fully focused on me, mai aveshita chetasam, whose mind has merged onto me, such a bhakta, I help him. I make him cross over samsaram. I take him from bhayam to abhayam. So here it says, Devi bhayapaha. Devi removes bhayam. Devi is one who removes bhayam, who negates, who destroys fear. For whom? For a bhakta. Only a real bhakta, a true bhakta, who is almost the same as a true jnani. A person who knows, a bhakta is also a jnani. Both are required in life. Bhakti means always being focused on Maneshwara. Knowledge means knowing that the Ishwara is only present everywhere. Even a person in the Jnana Marga should have bhakti towards Nirguna Brahman, bhakti towards his own Atman, rather than a Ishwara. Rather than a Saguna Ishwara, he focuses on himself, on the self in him, on Nirguna Brahman. So both are required in life. And such a person who is a real bhakta, which means he has knowledge as well, for such a person, Devi removes bhayam. That is the fruit. That is one aspect of the fruit. That means what will be negated. So bhayam causes sorrow in us. We fear people. We fear our parents so much that a call from our parents, then everything falls apart. We build the castles, or we are as if building castles in air or in space. And what is that castle that we build? We are trying to build the castle of Vedanta and wanting moksha. We build the castle rather than building a castle which is very strong. We build castles in air, and one call from our parents, the castle flows off. Everything falls apart. So that is what happens. So bhayam, we fear, out of fear, sorrow, the state of confusion, the state of conflict, the state of suffering, the state of sorrow. We know that it is going to lead us to sorrow, but still we cannot get out of it because of our passion, because of our attachment, because of considering duality as real, because of forgetting that Devi is the essence who has to be sought out. Amma has to be sought out rather than any other thing. We forget it, and thereby we enter into sorrow. So that sorrow and suffering which we have, dukkham, we don't need that, or we don't want that dukkham, but still we have that dukkham. We can get rid of that when bhayam vanishes. And the other aspect of it is Om Sharmadhayinyai Namaha. The 125th Nama says, the last Nama of the day says, Sharmadhayinyai Namaha. Sharmadhayini. So Dhayini means giver. Sharma means Anandam. So one who gives Sukham or Anandam. So one who removes Dukkham, one who gives Sukham. One who removes Bhayam, one who gives us Abhayam. And just because Devi gives this doesn't mean we can get it. Because Devi is always giving it, like the sun's rays which are always there, but we close the doors of our heart, clinging to people inside. We say, oh, I cannot open the door. Why? Because I have to take care of my father who is in the room. My father is inside the room. He is struggling so much. He doesn't have a job. He has blood pressure. He has this. He has that. He is struggling. It's my duty to take care of. And people say that it is my duty. If I get away from my duty, I'll fail in life, therefore I have to take care, thereby we keep the doors closed. If we just open the door, then alone we'll be able to apprehend the ever-present grace of Ishwara, grace of Devi, and thereby get this abhayam, abhayavastha, get dukkham and remove, get sukham and remove dukkham. As long as we don't do that, we'll not be able to get it. And we are people who learn many, many things in life. We learned the third chapter of Gita, the Karma Yoga, but still we speak about duty, we speak about responsibilities in life that we have. And all that is because of lack of conviction, lack of spiritual sadhana, lack of complete devotion. There is no devotion. Shouldn't say lack of complete devotion, lack of devotion itself. Devotion is not at all there. Devotion is there to on the wrong thing, Devotion is there with parents, devotion is there with the world, but devotion is not there with the reality. That is why this happens. So Devi gives Sharmadhaini. Out of bhakti, if we become a real bhakta along with Nanyanam, a real bhakta is one who has knowledge as well, then Bayapaha Sharmadhaini. So there is no shortcut. We cannot, if we go to some Mahatma, if we go to like Amma and cry, we will not get it. If we go to Amma and say, oh, I am going to become a sannyasi, just lie, it will not work. They don't need, Devi doesn't need sannyasam. Devi needs the attitude of sannyasam in us. We can say, I am taking sannyas, and with the very last moment, we can just walk out like we do. We can fool ourselves, we can fool people around us. We cannot fool Devi, because Devi is sarvajna. Devi knows everything. Devi is Durguna Brahman, who knows everything. Amma is an avatara, she knows everything. We cannot fool her. We will make a fool of ourselves. If we try to fool Amma, she will again play with us, and the play will lead us nowhere. It will lead us to a state where we will be far away from spirituality. So the 122nd Nama is Om Shambhavyai Namaha. So Shambhavi. Shambhavi means one who is Shambhu's wife, is called Shambhavi. So Shambhu's wife means Shiva's wife. One who is Shiva's wife is called Shambhavi. So there are other meanings also for Shambhavi. So one of the meaning is a person, or one who is below 8 years, a girl who is below 8 years is called Shambhavi. Another interpretation is one who is holding, or like yogis speak about Devi or Brahman as holding a mudra called Shambhavi mudra. So that mudra is being shown by Devi. So yogi, so in short it means yogis, one who is worshipped by yogis. So means bhaktas and yogis are not different. Yogi is a person who is always focused on the truth. That person is a yogi. So yogis worship Devi. So yogis worship Devi means, if yogis worship Devi, that means Devi is yogam. Yogam means samatvam. Samatvam means again anandam. So it is a different way of telling. One is bhayapaha, other is sharmadhayini. Another way of telling the goal is Shambhavi means yogam, one who gives yogam. The goal of yogam are being unaffected by anything that happens. That is what the other way of putting it. The next nama, 123rd nama is Om Sharadharadhyaya Namaha. So Sharadharadhya. So Sharada Aradhya. So Aradhya means one who is worshipped or to be worshipped. So Sharada means one who is to be worshipped. Sharat Kalam or the Ritu. Sharat Ritu, during the Sharat Ritu, at the night time or the midnight time, during that time and the moon is there, at that time one who is to be worshipped. So Sharat Kalam is a very beautiful Kalam, a beautiful Ritu. Sharad Ritu is a very beautiful Ritu in which things are pretty lively. So nature responds with us. Nature is as lively as us. And when we go out like mix with nature, we also become lively. So during that time, it becomes very easy to concentrate. Of course, all this is possible only when the mind is open. We can go to Mahatmas like Amma or Balakrishna Nair and yet be not realized, yet commit the same mistakes again and again. We can do that. It's not because they are not sending across knowledge. It's because our mind is not open. Our mind is not able to apprehend it. Therefore, we don't see. So that has to be there. That's the reason why Amma is able to merge with nature and be in one with nature. Like Tapovan Maharaj, who always lived in the Himalaya. Tapovan Maharaj, if we read his life history, we will feel as if this person is so attracted to the Ganga, so attracted to nature. But he is considered to be a person or a a person in the near past who knew a lot of advanced scriptural works. He learned a lot of advanced scriptural works. He was an authority on Nyaya Shastram. In many of the advanced commentaries of the Nyaya Shastram, he was aware of. He knew many advanced works like Samkshepa Sharirikam and all. He didn't learn all those like the so-called pundits of today from whom we learn. It's not that way. He knew it, he implemented it. So how was he able to be one with nature? Because it is a person who is open can feel the presence of God everywhere. It's only in humans that the presence of God is veiled by our own sense of ego, by our own jiva. The ego veils the Atman. It in a way, it kind of subdues the Atman and gains control. Therefore, we are not able to get the right vision. But with respect to insentient objects, that cannot happen. With respect to tree, they all don't have ego. And therefore, we can feel the presence of Ishvara in nature more than in ourselves or inside ourselves. So one who is to be worshipped during such a kalam, such a beautiful, lively with climate or lively part of the year, a lively season, which means that we have to kind of make all season as lively as that. Our Amma says each day has to be like a birthday. We should be very happy and blissful each day. That is the purpose of life. And here it also means that when a person, like during the Sharad Kalam, nature is lively. That means when we have real devotion to Devi, not only do we get rid of dukkham, get sukham, we are able to have yogam, but the environment, the surrounding, the nature around us also becomes as blissful as ourselves. So that means we become one with bliss. Bliss surrounds us. That is the meaning of this nama. Bliss kind of dances. Abhito brahma nirvanam vartate. Or around the person, bliss dances, as Krishna says. So the next nama, the last nama is 124th nama is Om Sharvanyai Namaha. Sharvani. So Sharvani. So Sharvar, like Shiva, another form of Shiva or another aspect of Shiva is called Sharvar. So one who is the wife of Sharva or Sharvar is called Sharvani. Sharvani is the wife of Sharvar or Sharva. So Sharva, wife of Sharva is called Sharvani. This nama Sharva, I'm not very sure about what is the meaning of this nama, but I believe it's the same as Shiva. It means a conscious principle, a light. So that means, as the previous nama spoke about, bliss dancing around such a person who is a real bhakta. So here it means that such a bhakta is a light for people who are suffering in the world. He not only has realized himself, he is a light who helps in the realization of other people. That is what this means. So these five namas speak about different aspects or different perspectives. That perspectives of a person who is a real bhakta, or the benefits or the state the person will be after realizing. So if we see Amma or Balakrishnan Nair, we can see all those. There is no bhayam, there is no sense of fear anywhere. Oh, doesn't fear, then like Amma at times shows a little bit fear, or she becomes very afraid. Suddenly somebody goes very near Amma, Amma becomes a little bit one second of being surprising attitude. How can that come? So externally all those are fine. Just because there is no fear doesn't mean we have to embrace each and everything in the world. That is not possible. We don't have to do that. But instead of that, what it really means is that such a person is able to follow whatever he wants irrespective of what is there. So if that doesn't mean that there are thorns on the road, so he has to walk through the road. That doesn't mean that. the person will try to find out another way. He'll find out a crooked way, a roundabout way, and still reach the goal. That is what really means. Bhayam is not with respect to external actions. Oh, you're sitting in the car and you are really afraid when another person is driving. So that doesn't, it's not that, that bhayam is at the vyavaharika level. That is not the bhayam that is really spoken about here. This bhayam is the bhayam, the basic bhayam of life. So abhaya avastha, bhayam is not there, really means that internally, whether something bad happens, something good happens, it is the person doesn't really fear anything or any other person. Externally, it may happen. At the vyavaharika level, fear may be there, but still internally, even out of that fear, there is calmness. So that is what the next nama said, like Shambhavi, means a person who is in yogam, which means externally. Oh, fear is not there means it's not about external fear. It's about the inner state of the mind remaining calm, even when scolding, even when singing, even when dancing, even when doing any other activity, whatever, the mind is always calm. That is what is being really spoken about. So we can find all these, like even Amma doesn't fear anything externally as well. So avataras are, we cannot compare ourselves with avataras. Balakrishna Nair might fear some things externally, but internally that happiness is there. So external fear is fine, it's not something that we have to get rid of, but it is does that fear remove the calmness, stability of the mind? The mind gets unstable for a second and comes back. So is the mind stable? Is the mind constant? Is the mind without any vibration, turbulence? That is what is really required. Sharadharadhya, we can also see Amma and Mahatmas like Balakrishna Nair being one with nature. Sharvani, so we also know that they are lights. It's because of them that we are even learning Lalita Sahasranama. And Sharmadhaini, that's the final thing that they give. Ultimately, what matters is happiness, anandam. It is what they have in abundance, and that is what they give to a person who surrenders to them. We'll continue in the next day. Namaste.